Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I've been asked to preach in a Bible conference on this subject, the glory of Christ in the believer. And so I thought I would preach it here as practice before I preached it there. We want to read verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. The glory of Christ in the believer. Christ in me. The hope of glory. As I studied and meditated on this subject matter, I was really overwhelmed by the thought that the eternal God, all glorious in holiness, resplendent in majesty and power, would purpose to reveal His glory in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to me, a poor, unworthy, unprofitable sinner that deserves nothing more than an eternity in the lake of fire. That's what my sins merit. And yet God determined to not only save me, but reveal the glory of His Son in me. I'm amazed that God delivered me, saved me from the power of darkness, and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. You see, this verse 27 is really a culmination of things that Paul had already written about in the first chapter. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the work of regeneration and calling. I'm amazed that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I am forgiven and reconciled to God. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. I was estranged from God in my sins. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the glory of His person, because of what He did in His blood shedding, I who was estranged am now reconciled, brought back into the good favor of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When you understand these things and how they're stated, you will never even entertain any thought of work salvation in any form. It's all of God. I'm amazed that God would open the eyes of my understanding to reveal the glory and the excellency of the eternal Son of God, who is preeminently exalted above everyone and everything. Notice what it says in verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, that He in all things, that in all things He might have the preeminence. God has determined to do all this for us in Christ. Now here's something that should stir us. I'm amazed that God would not just reveal these glorious mysteries of grace to me, to us, but that He has determined to dwell in me for all eternity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God has so thoroughly changed my heart, my mind, my will, my way of life through the glory of Christ that my heart has been changed. My heart's desire is to actually live out the prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians. Look what he said to them in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, now that the glory of Jesus Christ is in you, your life's changed. You have a whole new set of goals, a whole new purpose to gain knowledge of Him, to walk worthy of Him, to honor Him, to be fruitful unto God. Now my first point is how the glory of Christ is communicated to the elect, to God's people. The fact that by nature we are the children of wrath even as others, that we are dead in trespasses and sins, before we were saved, before we were born of God, before we were acknowledged that we've been redeemed and were justified by faith, we didn't have the glory of Christ. We didn't see the glory of Christ. We didn't desire Him. So how is this brought to us? How is this communicated to us? Well, we have to acknowledge, first of all, that this revelation of God's glory in the person of Christ, the excellency of Christ, This is according to God's eternal purpose. Via the covenant of grace framed before the foundation of the world. I want you to see what Jesus prayed about in John chapter 17. Go back there. And this is why all that God gave the Son in the covenant of grace will in time come to Him. His glory will be revealed to them. But notice what Jesus prayed here, John 17, 22. Notice the language that He uses. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that they may be one even as we are one. Notice again His language. I in them, Christ in you. And Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me. When did He give them to Him? Before the world began. That they may behold what? My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. So this revelation of the glory of Christ that's communicated to you, this is not by accident. This is according to divine purpose that was planned before the world began. And then it's communicated through the Spirit's work of regeneration, creating a new nature and new life, and then immediately calling us out of darkness to believe the gospel. The Bible says this: For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of what? The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When God gives you the new birth, when you are born of God, born of the Spirit, brought to spiritual life, He then opens up to you the glory of Jesus Christ and what He did for you. And He calls you out of the darkness that you were in, out of the deadness that you were in, out of the depravity that you were in. And He brings you out of darkness into His light, out of deadness unto life. And He reveals His Son in you. And it's according to divine purpose and power. Turn over with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is how we're called to glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Listen now. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of what? Of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very fact that you're called to obtain this means that you don't naturally possess it. It must be given to you by way of divine gift and revelation. So how do we see the glory of God in Christ? How does this come to us? How is it communicated to us? Is it through baptism? Is it through good works? Through the law? No, God had, He spoke through His Son. What did John say in John 1:14? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is communicated to us through Jesus Christ. That's how God speaks to reveal His glory. Through His Word in Christ. And again, when God wants to communicate who He is, you can't understand it apart from Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, the Word, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." This communication of glory in the person and excellency of Christ is according to divine plan, and it's brought to us by God showing us His way of salvation, regeneration and calling. That's not all there is to it. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And by way, how do we know the glory of Christ even better? Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm amazed by how much this phrase, the glory of Christ, is used in relation to how we are in Him, how we grow in Him. But look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3 and verse 17. This glory is communicated to us through communion. One of the reasons why God brought you to spiritual life is and gave you a new nature is so that now you can commune with Him. Talk to Him. Understand Him through His Word. It says in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." What image? Into the image of Christ. Into the image of the glory of God. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we commune, as we fellowship, as we draw nigh to God, the Spirit of God frees us from the power of sin to experience this change from glory to glory. This ongoing work of revealing the glory of Christ to us, giving us a desire to be more like Him. Now, how is the glory of Christ then manifested? How does it show forth? Are you born of God? Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you commune with God in prayer, in worship, through His Word? If all of that's true, it means the glory of God in Christ has been communicated to you. If that's true, then something ought to be manifest. Something ought to be demonstrated by you. Something so radical as being born of God, having a new creation of a new nature. That's radical. So how is that demonstrated? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The change produced in the new birth, literally from death to life, from darkness to light, is so radical and transformative, it requires that the Spirit of God dwell in us, the Spirit of Christ. Dwell in us. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live not to the flesh, but to live after. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, after your old way of life, your old nature, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have the Spirit of God to dwell within us, to guard, to guide, to lead, to enlighten, to empower, to energize us. And as the Spirit of God leads us to abide in Christ, again, your life should demonstrate that Christ is in you. That the Spirit of Christ is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's how you demonstrate this glory's been revealed to you. And as He works in us, sanctifying fruit is produced, conforming us to the image of the One who is referred to in the Old Testament as the One who is altogether lovely. The righteous branch. Look what Jesus said in John 15. This is how it's brought about. John 15 and verse 4. Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He is our source of life. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. Everybody that has the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of Christ, will bring forth some measure of fruit. If that's not true in your life, you're not saved. God, when He does this work, He produces fruit. So what does this fruit, what's it look like? What's it characterized by? What does the Spirit produce in us to be more like Christ? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. This is the fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, demonstrating that Christ in us has changed us. And you can see it in our deportment, in our desires, in our conversation, in our way of life. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and goodness and faith and temperance. All these things are being produced as you're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Our lives begin to demonstrate the life of Christ in us. The glory of His light shines in the fruit that He produces in us. And the glory of Christ is manifested through several things in your life. Obedience to His Word and love. If you love Me, keep My commandments. If Christ is in you and He is the hope of glory, then God's commandments are not grievous to you. They're not something that you don't want to do. You want to live for the Lord. You obey Him because you love Him. You want to serve Him. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see a special blessing about being part of the Lord's church to serve Him. Preaching the gospel. If Christ is in you, then you'll have a desire to communicate the glory of Christ to other people. Listen to the burden of Paul the Apostle. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You'll be able to bear up in trials for others to see that God is sustaining you and strengthening you. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Every one of your trials, afflictions, have been appointed by God. And how you live demonstrates to others that you are completely fine with what the Lord has ordained. That you are obeying that verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart
and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Some of those paths are going to be difficult. If Christ in you, the hope of glory, is operating and you're submitting to His Lordship, then you know what? You're going to demonstrate to everybody around you that you're trusting the Lord to glorify His name, even through the trials that you're going through. Lastly, how the glory of Christ will be fully realized in the believer. The work started in regeneration, the new birth, that's carried on in progressive sanctification, where the Spirit of God is working in us through the Word of God, making us more like Christ, demonstrating His life in us. It'll be fully realized and completed in something that's called glorification. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is the ultimate. Because right now you've got to deal with sin. You still got an old nature. You're still ornery. You still have a nature that opposes God. In glorification, that's going to be completely eradicated. It's going to be taken away for all eternity. And lo and behold, this is all according to God's purpose. In fact, when He, in Romans chapter 8, He uses the past tense in every single part of the golden chain of redemption as though it's already accomplished. But notice what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's when it will be fully realized. When the glory in us comes to complete fruition, when we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I think it gives you a better understanding of what Jude was talking about. Jude 24 and 25 says, "Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." This glory in Christ will be fully realized in eternity. We're going to see Christ as He is. And the Bible says we shall be like Him. Philippians 3 says He's going to change this vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. So what a powerful transformation, purposed by God, brought about in regeneration and calling, carried on in sanctification, and ultimately being fully realized in glorification. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This ought to make our hearts beat with joy. That God is doing this work in us. And it ought to be reflected in the way we live. I hope you're saved today. I hope Christ is in you of a truth. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to understand God. He's the only way you can understand the Word. Because He is the Word of God. Let's all stand.